The 2016 election was a bitter one that exposed the fault lines in America, but all the antagonism between the press, politicians, and citizens seems to have created plenty of fodder for comedians.
Hari Kondabolu is a stand-up comic and co-host of the podcast Politically Reactive with W. Kamau Bell. His humor focuses on everything from race in America to day-to-day life. Take a listen to his appearance on Conan O'Brien's show a few years back.
I was at a restaurant recently. I was overhearing the conversation at the table next to me. This man was angry that the waiter was speaking Chinese. It should be noted at this point, we were at a Chinese restaurant. If there's one place where a waiter should be allowed to speak Chinese, it's at a Chinese restaurant. Let a waiter speak Chinese at a Chinese restaurant. You don't think it's humiliating enough that he has to pretend sesame chicken is a real Chinese dish? And of course, General Tso's chicken, named after that famous general, Tso, who died valiantly fighting to get the seeds off the chicken. It's the same dish. Why do we pay more for seeds?
Hari Kondabolu will be bringing his humor to Wisconsin when he headlines at Madison's Comedy Club on State in a few days, and he joins us now in studio. Hari, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, I know you're not crazy about being called a political comedian in the age of heightened politics, but even before that, how come?
Well, I feel like, you know, whenever I get called a political comedian, it makes it sound like I'm putting on, like, my political lens, you know, as if, like, that's not something I see immediately. To me, what I observe in the world is just that. They're things I observe in the world. They're observations. I see myself as an observational comic. The first thing I observe often are power dynamics. I see power dynamics very quickly. I mean, that's one of my strengths. So why should that be seen as something that's niched? And also, right, you know, especially in this era, you know, with the Trump in office, I feel like, you know, the job of a comedian is to call out what's happening in the room, call out what's happening in the world. Like, you feel what a crowd is feeling. And I feel like, especially with Trump in office, there's a lot going on in the world. It feels like our country's on fire. It feels almost ridiculous for me to not talk about it, you know? So I don't see it as political. I just see it as, like, my day-to-day.
So has the way you approach comedy, has it changed in the before the election and after the election? Or even the way you see yourself in your role?
No, I still see myself as a comic whose job it is to be funny and to be honest. You know, I think crowds sense when someone's being phony, so it's to be true to myself. I mean, the one thing that has changed during the election is that it's actually made my job a little easier, because I always talked about things I care about, like racism or sexism or homophobia or transphobia or anything involving oppression and power dynamics I like talking about. And before, you'd have to explain some of those things to people, right? And now it's kind of like, well, what is racism? Oh, it's the thing the president said. What is sexism? It's the thing the president said. What is Islamophobia? It's the thing the president said. It gives us a news peg to actually get into the material. So for me, it actually gives me clearer examples.
So do you feel like you are a comedian who's now playing to audiences who don't like and approve of President Trump, or is there a crossover there where you maybe have to walk a line?
There's definitely crossover, and I think I don't know about walking a line. I mean, I think I'm going to say what I'm going to say based on my reality and my truth. You know, it doesn't mean it's the truth, but it's certainly the thing I believe in. And I think for crowds who are open-minded, even if they disagree, you know, it's humor. It's comedy. I know some people who say, I don't agree with the thing you said, but I still think you're really funny, which still kind of amazes me. Like, nothing? You didn't agree with anything? And you still found it funny? But it's an achievement when you do that. It's what you're supposed to do as a comic. You know, my job isn't to play to the choir. I know the choir's there. Great. How about everybody else? How about the people who are attending but don't agree with what's being said? Well, how do I reach them? I might not reach them. I'm not talking about reaching them politically. I'm talking about reaching them as a comedian. So be clear, explain your points of view, and if it's not funny, then at least you know you put your best foot forward.
Well, do you feel like then, you know, with comedy in a way, do you feel like you're defanging things that, you know, you could get people's back up right away if you said something without an overtone of humor? Whoa, I don't want to hear that. But you in a way, do you give them a spoonful of sugar?
Well, yeah, but it's not just sugar. There is medicine that goes
medicine
with it, right?
Sugar, right. Yeah.
I mean, I think when I started initially, I certainly thought about how am I going to get this stuff to people because it's important for me to say these things. I think my approach now is less that, you know, I don't see it as medicine. You know, it might, you know, there's a difference between how I will perform versus how it's being interpreted or the effect of it. I can't think of the effect in that way. I can't think that this is going to be helping humanity, because then I lose focus of the job. The job is to make people laugh, because if I'm not funny, it doesn't matter what my intent was. It doesn't matter, you know, whether it had a positive spin. I mean, when people start clapping and snapping, which I get more than I think other comics, the snapping in agreement, that's not good. That's not a good show. That means they agreed with me. That means the punchline wasn't strong enough, but they liked the political points. And, you know, I'm not speaking at a rally. I'm a comedian in a comedy club. You know, that is my job.
I know you said that you came of age post 9/11, and that had a huge impact on who you are and how you see the world. I think that's true for a lot of that 9/11 post 9/11 generation. But can you talk more about that in particular, how it shaped you and how it shaped your comedy?
Sure. I mean, I came of age also because that, you know, I was 19, 20 when that happened. So I was going to be coming of age regardless. But, you know, I grew up in Queens, New York. I was sheltered in diversity, which I didn't realize until I went to college in Maine, which is very different. And I didn't have real strong political views. And after 9/11 happened, you know, one, I'm thinking about my city, the fact it was attacked, but also the fact that, like, people are being detained and deported because they're brown skin, because they have beards, because they're Muslim. I'm seeing people being beaten up around the country. There was hate violence all around the country. I'm seeing things that make me question what it is to be an American and why am I not included in that? And again, being sheltered by diversity, like, I knew rest of the world was different than where I grew up, because rest of the country, as it was depicted on television, like, oh, my community doesn't exist and none of my friends exist. But I don't think I really felt that until after 9/11, where I'm like, oh, we're seen as outsiders in our own country. And that kind of violence and language made me really rethink things, and it made me want to, you know, it made me curious. Like, you know, I'm embarrassed to say that I wasn't as invested in the civil rights movement until it started to affect my community. It's not that I didn't care. I didn't see my place in it. And now I see my place in it. I see civil rights as a living thing that I'm a part of. And though it's embarrassing that I didn't see, you know, the idea of black, you know, like the black experience as part of my experience too, as someone who believes in justice and who believes all people should be free, I'm glad as a 19-year-old I figured it out, because I have the rest of my life to contribute to justice.
In a way, you've been tracking this for a long time. You talked about not seeing yourself represented, and I know now as a comedian and someone who's active creating media that you did a documentary about the character on The Simpsons, yeah. Apu, and you watched the show, your friends watched the show, but you didn't, it's not really how you saw yourself and how the world should see you. What did that show get wrong?
Well, I don't know if anybody watches that and thinks to themselves, yes, this is me. A white man with brown paint. Finally, I can relate to something. Yeah, I mean, it was really, like I was saying before, like the idea that I grew up in this really diverse setting. The fact that this was our sole representation, every now and then you'd have a bit part, like a stereotypical part in a movie or a television show. But this particular show was the biggest show, especially as a kid. Like, it was the show of you know, my youth. I mean, still, it's my favorite show.
And there's this one South
there's
Asian
just
character.
One South Asian character who's a convenience store owner, and this is how we existed. And, you know, I talk about it in the film, but, you know, he doesn't actually say thank you, come again many times in the show, but it becomes a catchphrase, even though it's not said very much. Well, it's a catchphrase because people are attracted to saying racist things. People are attracted to saying things that they're not supposed to say, even if they know better. And so that's what, you know, that was the legacy of that show, is that it kind of allowed for a certain kind of racism that might not have been vindictive or mean-spirited. It could be, but it was kind of this friendly, well, I'm just doing a character. And for a generation of us, it's like, oh, again, a reminder that we're not from here. And it's not the fact that Apu alone is the issue. It's the fact that Apu is alone. It's it. There weren't other representations. I'm really proud to live in a, you know, I'm proud to be part of this generation that is kind of almost responding to that era, not necessarily by just making a documentary like I did, but by speaking their truth in many different forums. I mean, that's new and exciting.
We're talking right now with comedian Hari Kondabolu. He'll be headlining shows in Madison's Comedy Club on State starting this weekend. And Hari, we were talking about your politics, and you've been very vocal about your progressive politics. And you were previously on a red state tour, states like Indiana, North Carolina, Missouri. Why'd you decide to go to those places in particular?
They offered me money is the answer. I'm a touring comedian. They offered me money. Also, I booked some of those shows before the election, to be fair.
So it wasn't billed as goes on a red state
tour. No, I'm just doing shows for people that want to see comedy. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I've had hateful, mean-spirited, or violent things said to me in really progressive cities. I started in Seattle, and I dealt with all sorts of nonsense at shows. So, you know, I'm not going to say that a place is one thing based on a few incidents. And, you know, often when I go to those shows, there's a lot more love because they're glad that I actually came and that a lot of people might not have.
And just briefly, as we wrap up, just a couple of seconds, but you'll be performing in Madison throughout the weekend. What are you expecting here in Madison, known, I guess, as a liberal hub in a battleground state?
Well, I expect fun shows. I feel like comedy, when it's rough, you know, you work on being your defense, you work on how do I save the show because it's a rough crowd. When you're in a show that feels like a home game, it's offense. It's like, how can I take a joke further? I'm hanging out with a bunch of friends I haven't met yet. So I'm excited about the weekend. There's still some tickets available on Thursday and the late shows on Friday and Saturday.
Hari, thanks so much for coming to the studio.
Thank you.
We talked there with Hari Kondabolu. He joined us in the lead up to his headlining shows at Madison's Comedy Club on State this weekend.
Coming up after the news, our guest says we create data with every click, search, and purchase, and it's being used by more and more corporations and government agencies. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.